Are you prayed and ready this morning? Anybody prayed and asked Jesus to be here this morning? Whew, I hope so, because I need him this morning. You know, this morning I just hope that we'll just take a little time and we'll just set our hearts this morning to just say, regardless of what my life looks like, I want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. I want to seek him first. I want to go on this journey with these people, and I want to learn and grow and find everything that God has for me in my life. Is that what your plan is this morning? Amen. Well, how many of you know that there's not too many things that are any more awkward than when you go to the grocery store and you push your little buggy up there, and the checkout lady, she spends all this time checking your stuff out, and then your card gets declined. Pretty awkward, isn't it? Feels like she's not just saying to you, but she's got the intercom. She's announcing to the whole store, hey, this guy doesn't have enough money, and not only that, he's not enough. Well, the good thing is that sometimes we don't feel like we're enough, but the good news is that it has nothing to do with us, because it has everything to do with Jesus. Jesus is enough. Jesus is more than enough to help us. And so I want us to look at something this morning. I want us to look at his word, and I want us to know that when we leave this place, that Jesus is more than enough. I think sometimes we have to remember Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. You see, Jesus is more than enough. He's more than enough to handle your fears. He's more than enough to handle your future and your family. He's more than enough. And so today, I just simply want to talk about Jesus. And I know some of you are looking at me and you're saying, well, isn't that what we normally talk about, is Jesus? Well, yeah, it is. It is. That's what we normally talk about. But isn't it amazing, even in a Jesus-focused church, how easy it is to lose sight of Jesus? And so today, I just want to remind you, more than anything else today, I want to remind you that Jesus is more than enough. And so I want us to start this morning by just turning the affection, the focus, and the attention of our heart to Jesus. What if we just let Jesus be our focus this morning and watch what he can do in the midst of our lives? Are you with me? All right, well, let's check out our first verse. Our first verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. It says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. What he's saying here is he's saying, I'm afraid that you'll be deceived and you'll be led astray to thinking that Jesus is not enough. He says, I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that Jesus is not enough. And so I want you to know that right now that Jesus is enough. In this new season that we're going in, he's enough for your past, your present, and your future. And the thing that he's saying here is, I don't want you to be deceived. And I know you're looking at me this morning, you're thinking, the devil could never deceive me like that. Well, let me tell you, if the devil can deceive the angels and trick them into leaving heaven, he can deceive you and I and trick us right into hell. Amen? And so as children of God, we've got to know the voice of God. We've got to learn that voice, and we've got to start listening to it and not the voice of this world. If you believe that Jesus is more than enough, he wants to be and he needs to be relevant in every part of your life. Amen? You see, one day Jesus and his disciples, they were walking along and Jesus is just talking to them. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, it seems like he asked them this question. He says, hey guys, who do the people say that I am? Or in other words, he's like, do the people think that I'm relevant? And I could see the disciples, they were probably thinking, I wonder who's going to speak up, who's going to talk, you know, and they kind of stepped back, and there's probably a moment of silence and pause there. And then eventually they started to speak up, and they began to talk to him, and they said, well, Jesus, some people think you're like Elijah. Some might think you're like Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. In other words, what they were saying is, Jesus, some people think you're a good man. They think you're a good teacher. You're a religious guy. Some people, you know, they might even think that you're a part of their life. But Jesus, the people kind of think that you're irrelevant. You're not relevant to where they are in their life. And Jesus just looks at them and he says, okay, but what about you? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And again, the disciples look at each other thinking, who's going to talk first? Well, Peter steps up in this story. He steps forward and he says, well, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. So in other words, what he's saying is, he said, Jesus, you're our everything. You're not just part of our life. You're our whole life. You're life itself. You're the most relevant thing in our world. And Jesus looks at them and he says, well, blessed are you for understanding. And so I tell you this story this morning because as we sit here on the edge of a new season, I believe God is leading us into a new season. And Jesus is really, what he's doing is he's walking into our lives and he's asking us that same question today. He's like saying, hey, who do the people in your life say that I am? Like, who does your spouse or your kids or your coworkers or your parents or your neighbors, who do they say that I am? And I would bet if you're like me that most of the people in your life, they would say, well, Jesus is a good teacher. He's a religious figure. He's a nice guy, and maybe he's that guy that kind of ruins the party by all of his commandments. Or you might say that, he's that guy that you pray a prayer to when you're dying and you'll go to heaven. And so if we're honest, most of the people in our life, they would just say, well, Jesus, he's maybe a part of their life, but he's not relevant to their life. And then Jesus, I think, would look at you and I today, and he would say, well, what about you? Like, who do you say I am? Who is Jesus to you today, in this very moment, right now? Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a teacher? Is he a leader? Is he a religious guy? Is he someone you prayed a prayer to in the past? Is he a part of your life, or is he life itself? Is Jesus relevant, or is Jesus irrelevant to you this morning? And what's so interesting is, regardless of what we answer, whatever our answer is today, regardless of it, what's interesting to me is that because whatever our answer is, Jesus is still relevant. Amen? Because relevancy is not determined by feelings, it's determined by truth. There's a whole lot of things in this world that's trying to tell us that things are irrelevant, and there's a lot of things trying to tell us that they're relevant. And so when they say those things, it doesn't make them relevant or irrelevant based on perception or on feeling or opinion. What makes something relevant is truth. Amen? So listen to this. Look at what Jesus was saying about himself. He says here, in this verse, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am life, right? He's saying, I am life. He doesn't say, I'm part of life. He says, I am life itself. And if Jesus is life himself, I would submit to you this morning that he's the most relevant thing in our universe. And how about the next verse? The next verse would say, you have been from everlasting to everlasting, the one and only true God. Well, if he's been from everlasting to everlasting, that means that he was before everything and he'll be here long after everything. And see, he was the creator. He's the sustainer. He is our redeemer of all things. He's the one and only true God. And what makes him the most relevant thing in this universe is that he is life. So it doesn't matter what our answer is. He is still the truth. And that means that he is the most important thing in our universe. You see, we're all on this journey. We're all on this journey of God being outside our life to Jesus being inside our lives. Amen? We're on this journey and Jesus becoming a part of our life and Jesus becoming relevant from being irrelevant to relevant in our lives. But what the problem is that sometimes we compartmentalize Jesus. We compartmentalize him a lot like this ice tray right here. You see, sometimes we want to take and put Jesus in one little compartment. And for those of you that are here and you were born after like 1990, this is an ice cube tray. What you do is you pour water in it, you let it run down, you put it in the freezer. A few moments or hours go by, you'll have some ice cubes, all right? Education for the day right there. All right, so... But what we do is we want to compartmentalize Jesus. We compartmentalize everything in our lives, don't we? We compartmentalize our finances. We compartmentalize our family, our job, our dreams, Jesus, desires, our friends, our hobbies, our house. We compartmentalize everything in our life. And what I want you to understand is that when we do that, what we've done is we've just made everything else. When we compartmentalize Jesus, everything else in our life is dying. Let me get this to you. Once you put Jesus in here in a compartment, the rest of your life is dying. Jesus says, I am life itself. I'm not just a compartment. I'm the whole tray. Everything that he is, he holds our whole life together. Amen? And so the moment that I take and put Jesus in a compartment, then I've separated him from all the other things in my life. And whenever I separate him from my finances, let me tell you, my finances are going in the wrong direction. It don't matter what my bank account says. When I take him and I separate him from my family is headed in the wrong direction. And I take him and I separate him from my job or my dreams and my friends and my hobbies and my home, then those things are automatically dying because Jesus says that he is life itself. He says, I'm the ashtray. I'm not just a compartment. Now let me tell you, okay, I think some of the younger generation's not getting me here. I think, what did I do with it? Here we go. Let me put it this way. Jesus is not an app. He's not an app on your phone. He's the whole phone. Amen? He's not an app that you open for an hour once a week. He's the one that makes all the other apps work. Okay, millennials are with me now. All right. I love y'all. I love you. Okay. Excuse me. But what we've got to do is we've got to stop compartmentalizing Jesus, and we've got to let him be the whole thing. He's our life. He's the most relevant thing in our universe. So how do you think and how do you know that something's relevant? Well, let's take a look at that for a minute. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you don't like the Cowboys. Now, Norwin, don't fall out of your seat. This is an example, okay? Say you don't like the Cowboys. If you don't like the Dallas Cowboys, you're not reading the articles. You're not worried about who's going to be the next coach. You're not worried about what players they got on the team. You're not getting engaged in the conversations. Why? Because it's irrelevant to you. You don't care about it because you don't like the Dallas Cowboys. Or let me put it this way. What about all those people you don't follow on social media? All those millions of people you don't follow on social media. Why don't you follow them? Because they're irrelevant to you. You don't care what they wore on Christmas morning while opening their gifts. You don't want to see what they ate for breakfast. You don't want to listen to all their no-nonsense stories. So you don't friend them on Facebook. Why? Because they're irrelevant, right? So what we have to do is we have to make sure, and that's how we can find out what's relevant. When we begin to look at our lives and we see what things that we're putting our time and our energy into, those are the things that are relevant in our lives, okay? And what we have to do is we have to stop letting people tell us what's relevant and what's not relevant. And we need to listen to the one who is relevant and let him share with us his relevancy in our lives, amen? God doesn't want to be outside our life. He doesn't want to just be a part of our lives. He wants to be our life. He is life itself, and he's the one that holds everything else together. He's the one that he blesses what you do. He makes it fruitful. He makes it flourish, and he does those things in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And so sometimes what we have to do is we have to go all the way back to the beginning. Like back when Jesus first started preaching, when he first started his ministry, he was 30 years old, and we have to go back to that today. I want us to go back to that time. We see that so many times we think Jesus had all these different messages everywhere he went, but if we look in reality, Jesus had one message. And man, wouldn't that be something if I could just get up here and say one message every time I got up here? Wouldn't have to learn something new, would I? No, Jesus had one message, and it was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That's such a great word. It means to change your mind. It means to stop thinking in agreement with the world and start thinking in agreement with God. It means to stop going in the direction of your own way and start going God's way. Repent. Let's look at that. Let's look at it really quick. The word repent, R-E, that means to go back. Pent. I want you to think of the penthouse view, the top floor view. So in other words, what we got to do is we got to go back and we got to get God's view and his perspective on the things in our life, the things that are relevant to us. Amen? I don't know if you're with me or not. All right. So what we got to do is we got to stop going our way, and we got to start going God's way. We have to change our mind, change our direction, and it'll change your life. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hope is here. Grace is come. Love is alive. So let's change our minds to about what's relevant and what's not. Amen? And that was the message that Jesus gave. He said it over and over again. Do you remember the time when Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee with the disciples? It's another time they were just walking and Jesus begins to talk to them. He's walking along the side. They weren't his disciples at this time. I'm getting my story mixed up. So Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were fixing their nets, and they were fixing to go fishing. And Jesus looks at them, and he says, "Hey, guys, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You see, I love this story because it doesn't say that he sees Peter and Andrew. It says that he saw them. You see, he didn't see them. He saw them. He saw them where they were. He saw who they could be. He saw their purpose. He saw their destiny. He saw their divine creation within them. He saw that they were made in the image and the likeness of God himself. He saw their dreams. He saw their desires. He saw their hopes. He saw their fears. He saw their shame. He saw their brokenness. He saw their anguish. He saw their torment. He saw things in them that they didn't even see in themselves. Amen. But the thing that he saw was that his destiny was upon him. And he said, "Hey, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And the story says that they were casting their net into the lake. And then as Jesus gave them this interruption in their life, they turned and they followed Jesus. When he just said these simple words, "Come and follow me." Now, I want you to notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Come and learn about me." He doesn't say, "Come and identify with me. Come to my meetings when they're in town every week." He didn't give them a little Jesus sticker to put on the back of their boat. He just says, "Come and follow me." What he did say is he says, "Hey, let's have a relationship. Let me take you to places that you've never been before, and let me show you things that you didn't know. Come and be a disciple. Learn from me and become like me in the process. Come follow me and I will make you. I will make your life." And it says that at once that they dropped their nets and they went and they followed Jesus. Because they made a decision, you see. They made a decision that Jesus was the most relevant thing in their lives. They were holding on to the boat and Peter had a decision to make. What's more relevant, Jesus or my boat? And Peter made the decision, and he went and he followed Jesus. And if you're like me, you're thinking, what would make a guy stop and just leave his business? It's because Jesus was offering them more than that they already had. Something that was more relevant than what they already had. Something that wasn't even comparable. And so they began to walk with Jesus, and the more they walked with Jesus, the more that his brokenness in his life was healed, and the along the way he learned how to live as a son of God. And the reason that Jesus invites you and I to follow him is so that you and I can learn to live as a beloved son or daughter of God. Amen? And if you're with me on this thinking, you're thinking, what would make him leave this business? It was because Jesus offered them hope. He offered them freedom, forgiveness, and purpose. He offered them more things that were more relevant than what they had. And can I tell you this? Jesus is still preaching the same message today. The same message that he preached years ago is being preached today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change your mind. Stop going your way, and by grace, through faith, let's start going God's way. Change your mind about what is and isn't relevant, because hope is here today. Grace has come and love is alive for each and every one of us. I want to tell you, he sees you right now, like right where you're sitting. He sees you today, sitting right there in that chair. And he sees your dreams. He sees your desires. He sees your destiny. He sees your calling. He sees your pain. He sees your shame. He sees your brokenness. He sees your anguish and your torment. He sees all these things. But the one thing that he sees is that he sees your destiny. He sees who you are in him if you'll receive him into your life. And can I tell you, the more he sees of you, the more he wants you. And the more he loves you. And the more he calls you. And the more he says, come, follow me. And I will make you. And let's be honest, Jesus is a whole lot better at making than we are at following. Amen? And like Peter, we have a choice this morning. We can hold on to something that is irrelevant, or we can take the invitation of Jesus this morning when he says, come and follow me. Let go of what's irrelevant, because I'm the most relevant thing in the universe. Come and hold my hand. He says, look, let me be the phone and not just the app on your phone. Let me be your container and not just an ice cube in your life. Let me be life itself to you. You see, we're all on this journey, and it doesn't matter whatever spot that we're in at this journey today. We're in three spots. One spot, you're here today and you have never followed Jesus Christ. You've never had a relationship with him. Second spot, you're here today and you've asked Jesus into your heart at one point in time, and somehow over the time, it's lost its relevancy and you've drifted away. Or third spot, you're here today and you're serving Christ with everything within you, and you know that he's the most relevant thing in your life. Those are the three spots that we're in. But what he's saying to all of us this morning, because he says it over and over and over again, is he says, come and follow me. Can I tell you, Jesus isn't inviting you to follow him so that you can do something for him. He's inviting you to follow him so that he could do everything for you. So the question that I have for you this morning is simply this. Then why don't we follow him? I think that if we'll be honest at the end of the day, we don't really believe that he's a good shepherd. We don't think that he's a good shepherd able to lead us into those green pastures that the word talks about. But I want you to look in John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, I am the good shepherd. And because I am good, you can follow me, and I will speak into you, and I will show you the way. That's what he's saying to you this morning. And so the question is this. Are you following Jesus into life, or are you forcing your way through it? You see, if Jesus is life itself, are you following him into life, or are you forcing your way through it? Are you inviting him to move in and be that into your life, to be life itself, or are you just inviting him to be a part of your life? Are you letting him be the whole phone, the whole tray? Are you letting him be life into your finances? Are you letting him be life for your family? Are you letting him be life on your job? Are you letting him be life in your past and in your present? You see, we got to let him be who he is. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So are you letting him literally be the resurrection and the life in your world, or are you forcing your way through life? Matthew chapter 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. He says, follow me and I'll bring life to every other thing in your world. Now the world says that everything else is more relevant than Jesus. And Jesus says that if you'll let me be the most relevant thing in your life, that I'll bring life to every area of your world. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, this morning. If you're here this morning and you're in that first spot, you've never asked Jesus into your life. You've never said, you know what, Jesus? I understand that you are life itself. You're the resurrection and the life. And without you, I'm lost. I need you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and that's you, I want to pray with you in just a minute. I want you to understand that the simplicity of Jesus. I don't want us to get lost in this. You see, when you ask Jesus into your heart, you don't have to come up with some certain words to say. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to cry. You don't have to. All you have to do is say, look, I've heard your word, and I believe that you came and you died for me. And that you rose again, and now you're preparing a place for me. And that you gave the gift of salvation to me. You paid a price I couldn't pay when you died on that cross, Jesus. And so I want you to come into my life. I don't want you to be outside my life. I don't want you to be a part of my life. I want you to come into my life this morning, Jesus. I want you to forgive me of my past. And I want you to give me a hope and a future. That's all you have to do. Pastor Wooten says it like this. It's the ABCs. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to believe in Jesus and who he says he is. And you have to confess that he's your Savior. It's simple. There's not some math formula to get to it. It's the simplicity of Jesus. Amen. So when we pray here in a minute, that's all you have to do. And for you, the rest of you, if you're here and you've asked Jesus into your heart, you come to church, and even though we're a Jesus-focused church, it's easy to lose focus of who Jesus is. And sometimes we wander away. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of who he is, and I pray that that's what's happened today. That you've been reminded that Jesus is more than enough. So if you're here this morning and that's you, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm back. I need you. I'm sorry that you became irrelevant. I need you to be the most relevant thing in my life this morning because you're more than enough. And for those that are in the third spot, you're here this morning and you're serving God with all your heart and he's everything to you. I want you to help me pray when we pray for these other two groups. Amen. So I want us to bow our heads and I want us to pray. Let's pray. Jesus, the things in my life that were no longer as relevant as you are, I choose to follow you from now on. I choose to let those things go. And so, Lord, I pray that every person that is literally taking their next step on this journey with us this morning of following you, I pray that you would just give them courage. You would give them the strength to move forward, the courage to stand up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want him to be the center of my life. Not just part of my life. And so, Lord, would you come? Would you make us? Would you make us and shape us and form us this morning, oh God? Help us to follow you on this journey that you've given us. Help us to understand that you created us and that you called us. And this morning, you're saying, come and follow me. You're saying, this morning, let me be your life. Let me be the life and the resurrection for you this morning. Father, I pray that your grace would flow into all of our lives, forgiving and healing and empowering and drawing and transforming us this morning, God, in such a way that only you can do. God, that you would come and you would bring us hope and you would come and bring us freedom. Oh, Lord, we praise you this morning. Lord, we seek you first. Help us to know your voice and help us to follow you into places that we've never been before. That Jesus, that you would be more than enough for each and every one of us in everything that we do. Father, we declare that this morning, that you are the Lord over our lives, over our families, Lord over our homes and over our futures. You're the most relevant thing in this world to me this morning, Jesus. And I pray that that become true for every single one of us. Jesus, we love you and we follow you into this journey together because you are more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, for the very first time, man, we'd love to know about it. You see, the part of the ABCs, the C was confess. Confess to us that Jesus just became Lord of your life. stand up with courage and say, tell somebody, hey, Jesus is my Savior today. And so I'm excited about what Jesus is doing for us. I'm excited that I serve a God that's more than enough. Amen? Amen. Hey, we love you, and we hope that you have had a great day today. I pray more than anything that God has encouraged you, that He's lifted you up, that He's done a work in your heart and in your life today. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.